How's your week been? It's been a crazy week, I think.
Yeah, totally. So Astrid's back with us, and Jenny is joining us for the first time this week. People have already seen her photos and videos on Spaces Forward this week. So yeah, and then Seth, is this your first time in Wisconsin that we're doing this?
Oh, no. I think I've been in Wisconsin. I think this is like the third time in my mother's sewing room as my studio. Okay. So I know I've done a few runs episodes in here, too, as you can tell by the flowers.
Lovely. Seth, have you seen that launch coming up in Maine?
Is a launch coming up in Maine? Where are they launching lobster?
We'll talk about it afterwards. Isn't that like the northern, northernmost part of the country?
Interesting. I didn't know about that. I know they were looking at a launch complex in like Nova Scotia, I think, or something like that. But
so they're competing with Nova Scotia. They're competing with Nova Scotia. It's a company is called something Blue Origin. Blue Shift. They don't have a B in the name. Blue Shift.
I did hear about that. I did hear that they were like, there's something weird going on there.
Yeah, and they're in, pretty sure it's Maine, but they're like competing with Nova Scotia. Yeah, definitely Maine. It's Limestone, Maine. They compete with Nova Scotia, and their big trick is that they use, their rocket's powered by biofuel, they say. So, anyway, how far is Maine from you in Wisconsin?
Oh, that's like, I think Texas is just as close. I think it's like a 10-hour drive in New York. I think I remember driving to New York when I was little, so it's probably been another like 8 hours up to Maine or something. I don't know.
Well, okay, so it's this weekend. You can make it. Let us know how it goes.
Are you paying? All right, cool. Awesome. Not at all. Can't wait.
So let's talk about some stories this week. What do we have first for us, Seth?
Yeah, so this week we had a new administration obviously come in last week to the White House. And, of course, with the new administration comes a new kind of decoration for the Oval Office and how the West Wing kind of how it looks. And this week we found out that President Biden has a little bit of space history in there in his office.
Yeah, we don't yet have an update on who the NASA administrator will be. We don't know what the direction of the Artemis program will be. We don't know what NASA is going to do with the core stage at Jetson Space Center, but we do know that there's a moon rock in the Oval Office. So that's the official policy so far, that there's a moon rock.
So far, so good.
Yeah. And that was reported.
My understanding is actually it's a moon sample from Apollo 17 as well. So it's from the final moon. So if we, of course, we have to kind of like look into every little small detail when it comes to like the presidency and like what he does, like every little small thing's like choreographed, including like decorations into the Oval Office. So the way I view it is that he is looking to continue the Artemis program and looking to hopefully return us to the moon.
Yeah. Hopefully it's not just honoring like the last human mission to the moon.
Hopefully not. That's also a possibility, but I'm optimistic about it.
That what he wants to do with the Artemis program. So that's the way I see it. Like a good thing.
Yeah, hope so.
And a good sign.
And then speaking of what's happening over at Stennis, I think today, like maybe like this hour that we're in, definitely soon, they're doing RS-25 engine testing, and that's the engines that are used on Space Launch System. And it's a little bit confusing because it's not a continuation of the hot fire test that we saw earlier this month that went short. I think those engines are already, fixed in place, and these are for the next core stage or so. That's my read on it.
Possibly. Yeah, I think that's what it is too.
But they are firing them on a different test gun.
Yeah. I think it's the B1 stand, I think it's good. They use it for
the A1 stand and the B2.
A1, that's what it
is. Yeah, which is just, it's not a very big area. It's just across the way.
Yeah.
But it's the A1 test stand where B2 is where the core stage is. So
what are they going to fire them for?
I think they said between now and like the next few months, they'll have several minutes of firing, but not continuous.
Not continuous.
Yeah. So it was just very confusing because it was like a big announcement from Stennis that wasn't about the core stage, which is what everyone wants to know about. So that was fun. And then finally, speaking of the administration change, Biden signed, resigned when the new president came in. We don't have a new administrator yet, but he did announce his new job. Seth, was your guess that he would go to Acorn Growth Companies?
No, I didn't know what Acorn Growth Companies was until he went there. So,
your bingo card. It's a private equity firm investing exclusively in aerospace, defense, and intelligence. So my view on this was he gets, you know, he's not really paid well as an asset administrator, as a government official. He was beloved. He was doing really nice things, had a lot of fans, but he didn't have a paycheck that matched kind of that gratitude. So now he'll have a paycheck that matches that gratitude.
He's probably the most probably knowledgeable person to take over in that position as like it's like VP or not VP, he's just a consultant, I think, right?
He's a full-time consultant. So he'll get to make the decisions of like, you know, who this investment firm invests in, which is kind of like being an asset administrator and making the decisions of, you know, which companies do you work with and award contracts to and money, that kind of thing. So
yeah, now it's just straight up
a whole lot more for it now.
Who do we give a whole bunch of money to? Which is, he's probably one of the most knowledgeable people. Other than him, it's probably like, I don't know, like Elon Musk and Peter Beck, and who are probably the most other knowledgeable people in the space industry. So
I think you could do that kind of job though.
Oh, totally. I'm just as knowledgeable as Jim, 100%.
Yeah, totally.
My support. I'll give you my support.
Let's draft Seth as the next Acorn firm investor.
I appreciate you guys.
Prior to being NASA administrator, he was a congressman, and that's also, I mean, it can be lucrative. You know, so,
yeah, it can be.
And then separate from that, we've got news from Boeing this week. So Boeing has been working on their Starliner spacecraft to send astronauts for NASA to the space station as part of NASA's Commercial Crew Program. This will be the equivalent of SpaceX's Crew Dragon, all part of the same program for NASA, except SpaceX is functional, operational now, and Boeing is way behind their plan. Because in December 2019, they launched Starliner without crew on board, and it didn't make it to the station.
They had several different issues with that. You know, they had there's a timer issue in launch, and then there's a mapping issue with the different thrusters, to a bunch of technical issues, pretty much. Pretty much boiled down to that they didn't do enough testing on the ground.
Right.
And so, Boeing decided they were going to pay for a second orbital flight test, OFT-2. And so we got to move forward from only a couple of days. From the, I think it was the 29th to the 25th. Yeah.
That's right. And it was because of an opening on the range where this is going to be United Launch Alliance's first launch of this year. So,
that's right. That too.
Just squeaking into the first quarter. But the first was going to be a satellite mission. I think it's called STP satellite.
STP-6. It's a space test program. They're all over the place. So they're usually a group of different types of satellites that are testing new things.
Yeah.
STP was STP-2, I think, or STP-3. I can't remember what it was. That was a Falcon Heavy launch. Mm-hmm. And then there was like another STP that was on a Electron. So
yeah,
they're a whole group.
Not an Atlas V configuration, but it's that the satellite itself isn't ready. Not the rocket's ready, but not the satellite. And so that moves that launch off of the schedule, and then they got to move OFT-2 up by 4 days, and that'll be the first launch this year. So that's exciting. And it was going to be to crew two. Yeah. So now it'll be a little bit further away from crew two. It seems like.
Yeah, that was going to be interesting, like kind of how they're going to juggle the three spacecraft visiting. But yeah, hopefully that'll ease things up for them. Yeah. So we also had some announcements from other crewed launches coming up. The first fully private mission to the ISS with Axiom. They have a new name for their crewmates, apparently.
Yeah, this is the first time, maybe they've said it before, but this was the first time I've seen them refer to their astronauts. They really don't want to be called space tourists, and they're not astronauts as we know astronauts to be, because they're not like trained in that way. They're really sensitive to being called space tourists, even though they're paying $55 million a piece to go to space as tourists. They've made this new name, Axionaut.
Is that going to be the new thing?
Axionaut. Yeah. Axionaut.
Okay.
It's quite a word.
Yeah, and so we already knew who the pilot who the commander is, and his former NASA astronaut Michael Lopez. How do you pronounce his last name?
Lopez.
Well, how do you pronounce his other last name?
Alegría.
Okay, exactly. Alegría. So he's the AX1 commander, and he's also the vice president of Axiom Space, which is like the travel broker to find people to go to space on, in this case, a SpaceX rocket and spacecraft. And then they named like one other crew member, you know, Space Force member, and then there were two openings. But we have the full list now. It's Larry Connor, who's from the U.S. I've never heard of him before, but apparently he's an entrepreneur and very wealthy.
No. I think all of them are.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they're all very wealthy there, Zach.
Mark Pathy of Canada, also wealthy. I mean, they do have $55 million less than they had before, though. So, you know.
Yeah. It's already been made.
They're $55 million less.
Yeah. And then Eitan Steve of Israel. And so...
We're still cruising.
Exactly. Like, is that
still, yeah, thinking that they announced these two axiomnauts, I guess. Two private astronauts. How about that?
Yeah.
And it was Lopez, and then it was the Eitan, right? How you pronounce his first name?
Yeah.
Eitan from Israel, who was the second ever Israeli citizen that's gonna fly to space.
Uh-huh.
And we all thought they were going to be the commander and pilot because the other two were going to be filled by Tom Cruise and his director. And that didn't happen. So,
yeah. Also,
the age-old question, Tom Cruise, when fly?
Yeah. My question is, which one of these guys is Tom Cruise in a mask? And I'm
there you go.
It's Larry Connor. He's the U.S. guy. That's the U.S. guy. So there's going to be like the big mask unveil, you know, Mission Impossible style on the station. Some interesting things about this that I found that in looking at the story was, you know, this was announced as like a deal last March. So almost a year ago, and they planned to do this mission before the end of 2021. And in this announcement, they included in there that it's going to be no earlier than January 2022. So there's already that kind of pushback on when it's going to happen. And then also like I said, they're really sensitive about being called Space Force. They want to be functional people on the space station. So part of the process is not only training, but trying to find something for them to do that's productive on the station. And so they will have a mission, and they will have some kind of something of their interest to promote. So the only thing that I don't love about this is that it's like it's four dudes. You know, it's not four white dudes, at least. There is some diversity in that. You've got people from different countries and backgrounds, but it is four very wealthy dudes.
Yeah.
The backup pilot for Lopez Alegría is the commander is a woman. So if he for some reason can't fly, then there is more diversity, at least in gender. But she's a former astronaut. I think her name is Peggy something in front of me. But
I don't know either.
Yeah, but she's the backup, and that was only announced because there was pushback of like why is it four dudes?
Yeah, again,
you know, and they're like, no, don't worry, we have a backup female just in case. So,
yeah,
but like, and also like, it's not that inspiring to see. Oh, you can pay $55 million to go to space, but it's at least the beginning of this, and you can see if this is a, you know, for one, Axiom is working on their own private space station. You know, first of the International Space Station, and then to remove that and build their own space station. You can see if that becomes a thing that's done well, but this could be more of a business that the first, you know, three seats are $55 million and eventually it comes down over time. And another angle that I thought was nice on this was the reason it's happening now is because of SpaceX. Like, it couldn't have happened sooner because there wasn't this private company that this other private company could work with this capability. So it's all part of, you know, seeing DM2 work out and Crew-1 work out that they're able to move forward here. So, and you know, save your money and you can go, you know, in your lifetime.
Yeah. It's only $55 million. Just throw those pennies in a jar. You'll get there eventually.
Yeah. You'll get some cool pictures, I'm sure, if you do it.
Yeah. I'm interested to see like where they're going to live. Like, so right now with the current, we have seven astronauts on the ISS right now. One of them, who's Commander Mike Hopkins, is sleeping in the Dragon, and that's his bedroom. And there's no other free beds.
I think didn't they bring him a bed with CRS-21? So I think
he's inside, I believe.
Okay.
Dragon. Yeah, there's no like physical room, I think, for him to put it.
Yeah.
So, but now you're gonna have four more people. So it's gonna be, I guess, four people camping out in a very high tech tent up in the ISS.
Yeah. Well, what is Axiom's like module like? Can they sleep there? Is it their own?
Axiom doesn't have a module yet.
They don't have a module yet. Okay. Shoot.
Well. Yeah. Yeah. They don't have any place to go. I think there's only two commercial modules on ISS. That's the Bigelow expandable beam, Bigelow expandable something module, and then that's used for storage. And then there's the Nanorax airlock. So. Right. I mean, they can sleep in the airlock. I mean, I wouldn't trust it, but.
I mean, that's what $55 million gets you, I guess. So.
Yeah. Yeah. You're going to sleep in the airlock with a chance.
Yep. So that's Axiom. Let's talk a bit about SpaceX today. So.
A little bit. They did so much. They're doing so much.
I'm really glad because we were just talking about how ULA's first launch is going to be the end of March. So it's barely the first quarter. You know, the bigger thing for ULA is that the Mars 2020 rover is going to reach the surface next month. Yep. And that's as part of a ULA mission.
That's a big deal.
So that's a big milestone.
Yeah.
But SpaceX has certainly kept us busy. I mean, geez, we're in the first month and I guess we're looking at potentially, how many launches they have this year so far? Three?
Three.
They've had three launches. Their fourth launch is coming up. I think right now it just got pushed back to the 31st.
Yeah.
So they might get four launches.
Yeah.
That'd be insane.
Yeah. That'll be awesome.
They've only done four launches, I think, once, and I think that was December. So they could be back to back four launches.
And if they want to have a record, then doing one a week is kind of necessary. And they're on track for that at least. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, they're looking at two Starlinks a month and then filling in the commercial ones in between that, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's all happened this week? We've got, we had a Starlink launch in the past.
Transporter.
Yeah. One Starlink.
When we were all here last week, Starlink had already happened or no?
Yeah.
It already happened.
So many I haven't had enough sleep for that.
Yeah. So that was like 9 days ago. Or no, 8 days ago. Anyway. So that was fun. And then we saw the booster return for that one.
Dragon return was
fun. So, yeah, I think – so everything happened Sunday. So Sunday morning we had Transporter 1 launch, their first dedicated rideshare program.
Yeah,
They've done rideshares in the past on top of their Starlink missions. Or they've also done – there was a SSO, which was a rideshare to Sun-Synchronous Orbit from Vandenberg. And then this was a Sun-Synchronous Orbit launch, which is a polar launch, which means you've launched south. And that was their first one here. The second one, sorry, here at the Cape. And then that was Sunday morning. Then booster returned Sunday afternoon for Starlink, which was booster 1051, which is now their life medium booster at 8 flights.
So it's and yeah, it launched yeah. 8 times and it came back really. I mean,
Sunday's
so
the 8 flights, I believe.
Yeah.
What is it?
This coming Sunday? Yeah.
This coming Sunday is 49. Is booster 1049, which would be their second 8th flight booster, which would be Starlink 16, I believe.
It's kind of cool. Yeah. Those two are
And cool thing about Sunday, I got to see the launch before I flew out of Florida for like moving down Florida pretty much. Last Sunday, yeah. I got to go. I actually convinced my mom. We had to be at the airport by noon. And I convinced my mom that we're in Orlando. Let's just drive the 40 minutes to the beach, see the launch, because it has to launch before 10:22. It'll probably be another 40 minutes back to the airport. So my mom got to see her first rocket launch this weekend.
Cool.
From the beach. Yeah, she was super excited. Yeah, she was super excited.
There were a lot of clouds overhead, which is...
Not a polo launch is awesome.
Not great for photos, but the launch is a launch. It's still awesome.
It was great for sound, because like the clouds pick up the sound and like it bounces back to you, so it rumbled and like it was really crackly, almost like a speaker breaking up, but in person and in a cool way. It was awesome.
I'm more further down the beach than you guys. You guys were down at the jetty, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think we were further down the beach on Cocoa Beach, so it just flew right over us. Which is cool.
And then
I had to fly out. You guys got to see the booster come in, which I'm always salty about because I love seeing the boosters come in the port, which was a cool one to see. And then we had a second booster return as well. which is from the Transporter One. Yeah, 1058 from the booster that just launched on Sunday. Already got up there. What was it, Tuesday, right?
It was really quick. It was like 2 days, 3 days.
Tuesday morning.
Which has to be one of the quickest returns I think they got. Especially it being all it landed all the way down here in Miami.
Yeah,
that's a pretty far distance, especially on a tug. I think it's got to be one of the quickest they've done, other than the ones that have landed just off the coast.
Right, yeah. And that one was awesome because it has its first flight was
Demo 2.
Yeah, Demo
2.
Yeah. Which sent astronauts Bob Behnken and Doug Hurley to the station. And it's the only booster with the NASA Worm logo and meatball on the first stage.
And they had it transport us this time.
Yeah, and I was so worried we wouldn't get to see it because
it's my favorite.
The last time we came in, our colleague Daryl was out there and he was really trying to get an angle with the worm showing. And I think he struggled to find it and eventually got it. But this time,
have to do anything.
It was right there in front of us the whole time. Yep.
And we should talk about now. This is Jenny's first week right here with us. So, Jenny, welcome to the team as one of our photographers. Awesome. Growing.
I'm so happy. And I want to thank Zach for the opportunity. It's been awesome already.
Yeah. And the same day that Seth was like, we should have someone go out there and do video for a booster return. A few hours later, you had your video.
I
also saw the tweet. Perfect. I love it. It was like 1 hour or something like after I texted Zach that we need video.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah.
It's very cool. And what we're really looking forward to some upcoming launches. Going through all the Starlink launches and getting to send both Astrid and Jenny out on base for the first time. Because Seth, you and I have had those experiences where we get to go out there and
shoot.
And I know for your first time was March 2020, right?
Mm-hmm.
And according to Daryl, like you were really giddy.
That was my first press one. I did a social.
Daryl's
first time on base, period. Like I've been on base a couple times.
Yeah.
Before that, they do tours at KSC a bunch, and I've done some two socials. They go on Kennedy Space Center and Space Force Station. Daryl's first time on the base.
Social, actually. We're in our social together.
I've done two socials. I don't know which one.
ULA's.
Okay, ULA social. Yeah. Daryl's first time was on the base, period. And I had him drive, and he's just going around. He's like, he's laughing the entire time. just giggling all around the place. So I'm like, I should have driven so you could just look around because it's really cool to look drive down, pass all the hangars and all that stuff to get to the viewing area.
I love
their. Yep. I was behind him on the motorcycle, and then our friend Morgan and Crystal were behind me. And apparently, I was braking really with short notice because John Lynch, my first comment was a surprise at how cool I forgot how quickly motorcycles can stop. That's what I wanted to mention that we haven't written about yet this week, but I'll get around to it. Is that I think it was the last launch of last year for SpaceX, which was the SXM-7 mission.
It was the last non-Starlink launch.
The last non-Starlink, okay. And this was, there were some surprising things about it. One, at the time, it was a life-leading booster for a customer, not a Starlink mission. And so we were thinking, oh, they probably got a discount for that. That's awesome. And Sirius, this is the Sirius XM satellite internet business. So a discount helps them. And it was a new satellite for their service to build up their service. And the launch was perfect. The Falcon 9 launch was perfect. The satellite deployment was perfect. Then earlier this month, I think it was on January 13th, they did some in-orbit testing just to make sure on their end, Maxar makes satellite. Sirius XM operates for their own service. They were doing just some preliminary testing to make sure everything was right. And they haven't given much detail yet, but they damaged it in that process. Something happened to it in that process to where it doesn't appear to be functional anymore.
It's unfortunate.
So
looking at a total loss.
Yeah.
Yeah, looking at total loss. They had insurance for like up to
225 million.
255 million. Yep.
which I think has the equivalent of about 3.5 or 4 Axie or not launches. So they got there, but
they backup.
And they do say
they have a second SXM 8
on the way.
Yeah.
And it won't affect their service, but it's certainly a loss. I mean, it's a multi-million dollar satellite that's down.
I think it's like they have 2 satellites that cover the north, like the area that it's supposed to cover, plus a spare backup in case either of those do die. Then SXM 8 is still in production.
Yeah. So that's bad news. It'll be interesting to learn more about what happened there because this is all pretty new to me in the last year. But this is the first time I've seen that happen in my experience.
Yeah. I don't remember the last one I saw where there was an issue after deployment was Zuma, which we still don't even know if that was actually an issue or just them saying, oh no, our classified spy satellite doesn't work anymore. It's not a thing. Don't look for it. It's fine.
Yep. And next, let's talk about Starship. So,
So, we finally saw a successful static fire end of last week. I don't remember what day it was, but I remember we had one finally where they didn't, like, there were no more static fire notices anymore. We were just like, okay, we're good now. Because they've had to change out Raptors, they've had to.
We had like 3 static fires one day as well.
Yeah, they did 3 static fires, which ended up damaging one of the, I think they did some damage to the Raptors. They had to be replaced. And so finally, today was supposed to be the day, or might still actually be the day, because we don't know still. But today was supposed to be the day they were supposed to fly SN9, like they flew SN8. And up until like 1 hour ago, everything was going fine. They put up the flight termination. They armed the flight termination. They were clearing the pad. All of a sudden, TFR just canceled. So, which is kind of no TFR, no fly. So, we don't know what's happening with that right now. Next attempt is tomorrow. So, according to TFR.
You ready?
What?
There's still time to go to Texas. Are you ready?
Let's drive all of us.
We'll meet there.
Yeah, like, we might still be able. Yeah, I don't know. We don't know what's happening down there anymore. It might still fly today. Don't know. Maybe it was an update to the TFR. But I've been refreshing the FAA site constantly for the past hour, and there's been nothing. So,
nice.
Yep, refresh it again.
One hop
continues.
Yep. All right. So let's wrap up this week with some remembrance for Apollo 1, for Challenger and Columbia. So I'll give this to you.
So back in 1967, we were, of course, pushing forward the Apollo program, trying to get our first launch on top of a Saturn 1B around low Earth orbit. We had the 3 Apollo astronauts up on board, Gus Grissom, Robert Chaffee, and Scott. No, dang it. The third, we didn't write this down in the notes, the third astronaut. But sadly,
Ed White,
that's what it was. I was about to say, Ed White. And sadly, there was a spark in the Apollo capsule, which led to a fire. Sadly, all 3 died. This is obviously a remembrance of we push so hard and we try so hard that it gets up, and sometimes we stumble and we can never forget, you know, the sacrifice they made. And that's not the only tragedy we had this week.
Well, let's pause there for a second because I want to mention. I know for both of us, we had the opportunity to go out to it's Pad 34, right?
Yeah, Pad 34 in Canaveral Space Force Station.
Yeah, so normal times you can go out there and pay your respects, and there's kind of a memorial set up and everything. With COVID, you can't yet, but we got to go out there as press to do remote camera setup for the NROL 44 Delta IV Heavy flight that didn't happen for us. We got to go out there and do that. But the place where we set up our cameras for remotes was Pad 34.
Yep.
And that was my first time being out there, and that was a tremendous experience to get to see the side of that because I was unaware that you could go out there prior and speak. And I knew you couldn't go out there currently, so getting to go out there in that situation was just really neat. And I'll also say, you know, like space history wasn't what I grew up on. And my beat in the last, 8 years has been Apple technology. And so when I got into space in December 2019 and wanted to go back and learn so much about how we got to where we are, I was watching an Apollo documentary, I think on Nat Geo, and I didn't know the history of Apollo 1. And I was just watching it as like, a timeline playing out, and I didn't know what was coming. And it hit me so hard whenever it got to, like, they played the audio from inside, and then there was the fire, and I was like, I like had to just like pause, and I was like so shaken because I didn't know the history and I didn't see it coming. I didn't know. So days like this to remember and inform, I think, are important. So let's go to Challenger now.
Yeah. So January is a big time for NASA with Remembrance, because they've had three of their largest tragedies within January. January and very close to January. Back in 1986, of course, we had Space Shuttle Challenger, which was supposed to be this was earlier in the program and be a kind of a beacon of hope for not just Americans, but also children looking on. This is the first teacher in space launch, with the seven astronauts that flew, and Chrissy. I always mess up how to pronounce her last name, Krista Mikulov. Who flew as a teacher in space, and then of course, following after the teacher in space program, the children in space program, which we learned in the great documentary that was released in the last year. And then shortly after launch, with an issue with the SRB, which ended up losing all crew.
Yep. And then Columbia, again, for me, I was learning, a year and a half ago about space history because I wanted to know, how to get to where we are now. And I knew, of the disasters, but not the specifics or when they were and everything. And so learning about each one of these was, hit me like it was brand new. Columbia, especially because Challenger was 4 years before I was born.
1 year
before you were born.
Yeah.
I don't know when you were born.
2000. Yeah. It was a while.
Yeah. Columbia was in my lifetime. I was 12 years old. And I don't have recollection of this. I don't know if
I do.
You do?
I do. Yeah. It was really sad. I used to be in band and they had to cancel the band. It was on a Saturday, I think it was, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. Or something like that. I forgot. And then my band teacher just said, he said it so fast too. He's like, the Columbia disintegrated. Let's just end this. And then, I've always been into space since I was little. So when he said that, and he said it so fast that it didn't click. And that's like the Columbia. And I knew there was a space show that went up. So I was like, it clicked. And then when I saw the news, it was unfortunate. It was so sad.
Yeah.
So this one is something that hits me a lot, because I remember that,
Yeah. Yeah. And that anniversary is coming up on February 1st. I think it'll be 18 years.
Yeah. It's crazy how they all happened. So almost like consecutive,
different years, but someone in the calendar year and Challenger being, basically upon liftoff, Columbia being on return, which is,
it's crazy,
not to compare them, but man, that's, you're almost home.
Yeah. And this is going to be a big year for Israel. Cause on, for Columbia, they had, Ilan Roman, who was an Israeli pilot and astronaut, their first astronaut to ever launch and go to space, but sadly didn't make it back. And then later this year, with AX-1, they'll have their second astronaut hopefully launch and be successful. So it's a reminder that we push forward in this, and it's, we all try to push forward and bring together the community in a way, then push forward our progress in the universe. And there are sacrifices that have been made over the years, not just these three, but also the astronauts who've crashed on T-38s and the Soyuz launches have also, Soyuz 1 especially, also they didn't make it back. So the good time to remember, what all has happened in our history so we can learn from it and to our future.
Yep. And when we see, this is 2020 was the first year that we got to see the return of human spaceflight mm-hmm. in this country since shuttle ended. And I know the launch itself looks exactly the same. You know, it's a Falcon 9 rocket with a Dragon yep. on top. But just knowing that, you know, it's awesome to see a launch in general because it's just so intense. But knowing that there's also people on board makes it so much different. And the way that I put it just in the moment was like, there's just something romantic about it, you know, mm-hmm. and it's that candle is, there's two lives on that candle. Yeah. And then with Crew 1-4, you know, so.
Yeah. Crew 1 was my first crew launch mm-hmm. and it was different. Like, I mean, we saw them escorting them to the pad and mm-hmm. seeing it, we were in Titusville, so it was in the distance, but mm-hmm. seeing it take off was just like so emotional because yeah. just like there's four people on that.
Yeah. And knowing the history, it reminds you that it's risky, it's dangerous, and it's anything could happen. It's certainly risky. Yeah. So, yep.
And what's the note that one thing, let's put on a positive note that since 2003, you know, we've not lost an astronaut, you know, no country has lost an astronaut since then, at least to my understanding. So the amount of safety has gone back into the program because of these the loss of life of these astronauts has made spaceflight so much incredibly safe nowadays. And we'll probably, knock on wood, you know, never see someone like this ever again due to how much care is put into it.
Yeah. Not to say that it's easy though, because, you know, Crew Dragon it's only had two human launches so far. Mm-hmm. So it's new territory. Starliner, you know, we're not yet there with people yet, but it could be, you know, probably will be this year. And yep. same with the Artemis 2 mission and Space Launch System, you know, that'll be the first time Orion has people on board. So
now we have tourists.
That's right. Yeah. And the Axiom. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
My, what's the show? Do you guys know the show, the kids show with the.
I think I know what you're talking about.
I'm blanking on the name, but there's underwater. Because of Axionauts, I'm blanking on the actual name.
Octonauts? I don't know.
Octonauts, yeah. My son loves Octonauts.
And that's I didn't even say Octonauts, I said Aquanauts because that's what NASA calls them, but okay. I'm glad I got your memory there.
Yeah, it's a children's story turned into a TV show, and my son is obsessed and he knows everything about marine biology because of it. But Axionauts, that's a fun one to end on. All right, Seth, I'll let you sign us off this week.
All right, everyone, thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for watching. If you guys like to see more, make sure you guys just subscribe or follow or review our podcast. Of course, we can be found everywhere that you listen to the podcast. Right, Zach? Everywhere? All right, got the nod. That means everywhere. And we're pointing to everything that's not on screen. We're going to see you guys. Thank you. I'm Seth Kirkowski. You can follow me on Twitter at Seth Kirk. And you can follow Zach at?
Paul is Zach on Twitter. Astronaut, you are.
Astronaut underscore 87.
You're Axie or not?
You should change it.
I should change it.
Jenny H. Photo on Twitter.
Easy enough.
All right, we'll see you guys all next week.
All right. Bye.